So how do we get from a former French one-cap wonder, who's one of a rare breed of footballers that's actually won a trophy with Spurs, to a nomadic Italian forward who in 1999 was the most expensive player in the world?
Hello and welcome to the Wikipedia Wanderers with me, Josh, and hello, Dave.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Pretty good. So yeah, we're going from... Shall I spoil it? Shall I say the players who we're going from between?
Title spoils it, doesn't it?
Does. Pascal Chimbonda, Christian Vieri. I haven't yet thought of how we're going to do that. With the amount of clubs both have played for, we've got to have some merge, some crossover.
I agree. I think there has to be some sort of club crossover. And my worry is this is going to write off a lot of clubs, because I feel like you sort of are going to be like, oh, this should link there, and this should link there. And yeah, there's a chance that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we don't have to take the obvious route. That's a good point, actually. We'll cover some rules that we've got, and they will accumulate as it goes on. But first rule, you alluded to, no revisits. So once we've clicked on a page, we're not allowed to go to that page in a future episode. So if we go to, say, Inter Milan this episode, on their full page, not happening again. Gone.
And that's why in previous episodes we've sort of been like, well, we don't want to rule out, like, Liverpool. They're too big. Too big for episode one, I think is what we said with El Hadj Diouf. Too big. And it's a conundrum we've come across in episode one and two to say, when do we think a big club can be used?
Yeah. It's kind of like using your best cutlery. Oh, we don't want to use it. Don't use it now. It's not a big enough occasion. We're going to have to use our best cutlery at some point. Do you have best cutlery in your house? Or do you just have...
We in the UK, we did have... Yeah. We had our best dinner cutlery and plates and stuff like that. The plates, I don't think we ever used... No, we used them the day before we left Singapore, because Kate's parents came for dinner. So we got them all out and used
it.
And then packed them away in a storage container in the UK. And the cutlery... We just went, well, it's coming to Singapore and it can be our normal cutlery.
Oh, so you're living with the best now. You're living with the best. No longer the best, you are the best. Oh my goodness.
Well, thank you, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, so, no worries. Next rule, no hovering. So some web browser's functionality, you hover over a link, it gives you a little preview of what you're going to click on. Because Wikipedia is kind of more organic, you know, people can go in and link things, there may be a mislink. So it may think you're going to be linking to, say, France national football team, but they have actually maybe linked you to France the country, and we don't want to be given that little preview to direct us down the route. We want it to be just a click, and there we find it.
Make a decision and click. Okay.
Click it, pick it. And also, one which I feel is just doing God's work is fix it. If we notice an issue, we take an action at the end of the podcast, and between record and release, as I'm going to say, we're going to try and fix that issue and rectify that page so that the world is a better place.
I love that. I think that's my favourite rule. I think that is my favourite rule. So, and we have actually set up two Wikipedia Wanderers accounts, I think it is now, because we can't have the same one, obviously, for legal reasons. Don't want to know passwords and things like that. If you see anything edited by Wiki Wanderers and Wiki Wanderers 01, that's me and Josh. So, there you go. There you go. But that actually leads me very nicely, Josh, onto my choice of where to start today. Pascal Chimbonda, because I think this is one of the weirdest Wikipedia pages I've seen for a former professional footballer in the Premier League. It is so scarce of information, it's unbelievable. First thing I want to point out on here, and we love these bits normally, right? There is no breakdown of appearances. Other than the ones you get on the right-hand side for leagues, there is no cup competitions.
Oh, no.
There's no European football. There's nothing like that. Like,
that would be, you'd normally see that with a player, you know, maybe played in the 70s or 80s where, you know, stats weren't as rife. I mean, this is a modern day footballer. He played in the 2000s.
Christopher Jahn. I wouldn't be too surprised if he didn't have it, because, you know, a career earlier in the 90s, finished his career at quite a lot of lower teams, as we found out, was missing the fact that he won the UEFA Cup. We went in and corrected it. But Pascal Chimbonda, who's played in the Premier League in the 2000s, doesn't have a breakdown in appearances. And it made me think, what else is on his page? What else is here that is a bit weird? Well, later career in his career is literally just a list of dates and clubs. One sentence. It's so strange. In July 2013, Chimbonda trained with North Premier League Division 1 Southside, Market Drayton Town, and played in the club's pre-season friendly. He went on trial to Tranmere Rovers. He didn't earn a deal. He returned to Market Drayton. He then moved to Carlisle.
Okay, we get it. Yeah. We get it. It's just listing. It's just listing. A lot of lists. Pascal Chimonda, you think of him, you picture him, what shirt? What you got?
Spurs is what I actually picture him. And then I think a bit harder and it's Wigan. Yeah.
And always, he was a glove-wearing, untucked, long-sleeve man. If I had to
spot on,
really
yeah.
pinpoint him.
Yeah.
In fact, I've only just scrolled up to the picture.
Yeah, scrolled up to the picture. The only thing you're missing out of that picture is tights. An interesting sort of a maverick of a footballer. There was always lots of rumours that went round with him. Like, there was a rumour that he... Was it Wigan where he kept the club up and then told he was going on the transfer list?
Oh, I don't know.
Paul Jewell? I swear that was a rumour that happened with him when Paul Jewell was Wigan manager.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of rumours about Paul Jewell as well, if we want to go down that route.
Oh, well, yeah, that's not a link I'm clicking in Wikipedia, Paul Jewell. But yeah, I picture him in a quite a baggy Spurs shirt or a Wigan shirt when he did well with them. Obviously, started in France. Le Havre, he is French and Guadeloupean, I think is how you'd say.
We'll go with it.
Le Havre is where he started, quite a famous youth academy at Le Havre, produced quite a good number of youngsters, so that could be a clickable link to go down.
Am I misremembering? Is that Anthony Letalek and Florent Cinema-Pongo? Is that Le Havre?
It is, yeah. It is Le Havre. Yeah. Also, Paul Pogba, isn't it, as Le Havre?
Oh!
I think Paul Pogba as Le Havre is where he started
his
career.
He never amounted to much, did he?
Well, no. Then he moved to Bastia in France, then over to Wigan, where a lot of people will probably remember him, and then the move to Spurs, Sunderland, back to Spurs, Blackburn Rovers, Queen's Park Rangers, Doncaster Rovers.
Blackburn Rovers? I'm not sure I've got a memory of in a Blackburn shirt.
No, that's true. Yeah, thinking about it, I can't.
And the lack of the breakdown beneath, you can't see what league it was in.
No.
My memory isn't good enough to tell me 2009, 2011, are Blackburn in the Premier League? I don't know.
I'm going Championship. I'm going to go Championship there, I think.
There is a downward spiral to this career.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Doncaster Rovers, probably around a similar time to Eladj Diouf, maybe, when he signed there.
Ooh.
You never know that. And then it went, Market, Drayton Town, Carlisle United, Arles, Avignon, Washington, and Ashton Town.
Do we have Washington? Do we know if that's Washington?
I don't know. It might be mentioned later on.
Oh, no, it says non-league side Washington, so that's going to be an English side.
It's going to be an English side. He clearly likes England, because I know he stayed in England when he was a free agent and all that stuff, as it said earlier. But there's quite a lot of things here that we could click on, definitely clickable links. But the last thing that really jumped out at me when I started to quickly look at his page earlier, the France cap.
Oh, yes, he's got a cap for France and also six caps for Guadeloupe. Okay, France, yeah. Go for it.
The Guadeloupe thing, I can sort of understand that they probably don't generate too many Premier League footballers from Guadeloupe, and if you've got one, you'll probably give him an appearance. But he did get a cap for France. It was in a World Cup warm-up squad after the World Cup squads had been announced. So he had never played for France, got picked in the World Cup squad, played one game in a World Cup warm-up squad, went to the World Cup, and never played for France again. I find that really bizarre. One, why was he called up when he had never played for France, and it was done on his performances for Wigan, according to Wikipedia?
Well, he was named in the PFA player, Team of the Year, wasn't he?
Yeah, which means he had had a good season all season. So why had he not been played for France in a friendly or something before the World Cup?
Team of the Year to 05-06 season. So that would mean in 2006, so that I presume it ties in with his time. Yeah, the 2006 World Cup squad. Yeah, it's just that why did it come then?
Yeah. Yeah. He played one friendly game where he came on as a sub, and then against Denmark, replacing Willy Sagnol. There's a player. Remember him? replaced Willy Sagnol, came on against Denmark, never picked again. Went to the World Cup as well. And that's just weird, isn't it? It's so bizarre. Another thing we quickly to look at, we scroll down to normally straight away, honours. Wigan Athletic, Football League Cup runner-up, 2005-2006. Tottenham Hotspur, Football League Cup, 2007-2008. He actually won a trophy with Spurs.
Yes, that is the last time Spurs won a trophy. Thank you for reminding me of that glorious day where Spurs beat Chelsea.
Yeah, Jonathan Woodgate. So, I mean, all around, I mean, you're a Spurs fan. What do you think of Chimbonda?
I liked him. I think he was a good player. I would say he's in a similar ilk, probably a little bit down, but to Benoit Assou Ekotto. I feel like they're money motivated.
Yeah.
But, a good professional, you know, good performances. Was not a magnificent, just an all-round good player.
When you say good performances, are you saying it's a 6 out of 10 every week, a 7 out of 10 every week, or is
but,
it?
Yeah, there's rarely mistakes, but there's rarely outstanding moments. Maybe one or two goals, but it's not like he's never gonna from Spurs. I think that's a peak. There's never like no bigger club. You know, Man City. Well, at the time we'd been like Man United. We've never been looking at Chimbonda or Asokoto thinking, I'll sign that player. But okay, it's a really good professional.
So just before we move on to Christian, for you to give us a bit of a rundown on Christian Vieri, the end point of this journey, I'll leave you with this lovely nugget of information. When he moved back to Tottenham Hotspur, being bought from Sunderland, manager Ricky Sabria declined to reveal the fee, although it's thought that Sunderland recouped all what they originally paid for Chimbonda, somewhere around the £3 million mark. And then you scroll up, and in 2009, he played 3 times for Spurs. That's £1 million per appearance. Brilliant.
I'm going to say, Ricky there is keeping it quiet because I don't think he's anywhere near that £3 million mark. It's Daniel Levy. He's not paying that.
True. That is very true. But to someone that went for a lot of money then, Josh, as we teased earlier on, Christian Vieri.
Yeah, I chose Christian Vieri because he's got such a ridiculous goal-scoring record. But he's also similar to Chimbonda, just went from club to club to club. As we've mentioned in the intro, he was the world's most expensive player at the time. And from Lazio to Inter Milan, £30 million. He just won. That makes me happy because it's like, oh, Serie A was just the money swashing around in Serie A at the time. Just makes me a little bit happy because, I don't know, after this transfer window that's just gone and the Premier League dominating, you know, Inter Milan struggling financially, Barcelona, Real Madrid struggling financially, I don't like it. I want lots of clubs to be big and rich and lots of players going for lots of money and it all being spread. I don't really like it all being concentrated in the Premier League now. I've got to...
Yeah, I can sort of agree with that. But then this was a time when it wasn't spread around, was it? This was all in Italy. It was
no, absolutely, yeah.
So maybe it's cyclical. Maybe Italy will have its day again. Who knows?
Maybe. Seemingly a recurring theme in this podcast is that Vieri was named in the FIFA 100 list, a list of 125 greatest living footballers selected by Pele. I mean, he gets around. He really foreshadowed all we're going to pick in this podcast. We might just go down that list because there are some interesting names.
Just before we move on then, I'm very happy for the day that one of us picks the end point is Pele. And we know that any footballer we go to is going to be on his 125 list of named players. Like, that's the short podcast. We're done.
do you know what? I'd not thought about using Pele. Yeah, I had not thought about going that far back.
It's early on, isn't it? We're very much drawn to, and I think Vieri shows it, the era of football we grew up with. A lot of the links I'd say we've gone through have gone through people in our sort of generation that we've grown up with.
Absolutely.
Young to now. We've never gone before our time of getting into football. So who knows? Yeah, potentially in the future.
Well, let's have a little dive into Christian Vieri when he was younger. So born in Italy. But interestingly, he moved to Australia because his father was a footballer, Roberto Vieri, and transferred to, I think, a side you'll remember, Marconi Stallions.
Big fan. Remember that side? Big fan.
Yeah. I think we touched on it in a previous podcast, Football Talk, with Paul Ocon. I've got a feeling was...
I think you're right, yeah.
So he grew up in Australia and he was a big fan of cricket. He actually references his sporting hero as Alan Border, the Australian batsman. He was talking about split. Similar to Phil Neville. Do you know this about Phil Neville? Was a very good cricketer. I think Andrew Flintoft speaks about him as being, I'm glad he chose football because I wouldn't have been the all-rounder for England because it would have been Phil Neville. He really rates him incredibly highly, yeah. He also had a brother. Remember Max Vieri?
I was about to say, I think he had a brother who was an Australian international.
Yes. He did not quite reach the heights, I'd say this is fair, reach the heights of Christian Vieri, who then went on to appear for Italy. He settled with Australia. I don't think I've been too disparaging there. But he came back to Italy, and that's where he entered the kind of professional footballing kind of ring, and he went, you know, Serie A, Serie B. Interestingly, his first club, Torino, he was on the losing side in the 1992 UEFA Cup final, Torino v Ajax.
Oh, okay.
So that's a little route to go down there.
Yeah, interesting.
And then he went through from Serie B sides, Pisa, Ravenna, Venezia. His big move then came 96-97, Juventus came calling. Again, he was on the losing team there in the Champions League final, which is quite interesting. He's had a couple of losses, lost to Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League final. But after that, big money comes in. And it's not just Serie A with the big money. La Liga had some big money. Atletico Madrid came calling. This is Atletico Madrid before we know them now. This is where...
Right.
They're trying. They're nowhere near Barcelona and Real Madrid, that was very much a top two at that time. It's only really when Diego Simeone came in when it became
a
triumvirate. And funnily enough, he joined at the same time as a Middlesbrough legend, a Brazilian, take a guess?
Little Janinho. Oh.
Yeah, and I mean, what a season he had for Atletico Madrid. 24 league appearances, 24 goals.
That's insane.
And he wins himself the top goal scorer award in La Liga. Fantastic. But he speaks about it was money driven. He wished he'd stayed at Juventus, and he only stays for a season in Spain and comes back to Serie A. But we always find this with Italian players. They have no problem switching between big clubs. We've got, so just to go through, he was at Juventus. He joins Lazio. So he joins Lazio, has a decent season, but he spends one season there. 12 league goals, 22 appearances. Joins Inter Milan. So he's the third big Italian club, and this is where he does actually stay for a significant amount of time. Significant because he's had 9 clubs in 9 years before this point.
That's incredible. That Inter Milan is where I think of Christian Vieri in like the old football games and things like that. It's Inter Milan that I remember him. Yeah.
So his time at Lazio was good. I mean, he won the Cup Winners' Cup. He scored in the final of the Cup Winners' Cup. In the final Cup Winners' Cup. That was the end of it. And he was partnering. It was Sven-Göran Eriksson managed, and he partnered Marcelo Salas up front.
Ooh, nice.
You think that's nice? Let's hear his strike partners at Inter Milan. Ronaldo. The Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Adriano. Hernan Crespo. This is what I love about Serie A in this time.
Wow. That's incredible. That's ridiculously good.
But unfortunately, it didn't really work out for him in terms of trophies. He only won the Coppa Italia in that time. He struggled with injuries. Him and Ronaldo, I mean, you got two physically impressive strikers there, but I think they both struggled with injuries. In that time at Inter Milan, he won the Italian top goalscorer award. So he's won it in La Liga. He's won it in Serie A, if only he'd come to Premiership.
Do you reckon he could have done it on a wet Tuesday night in Stoke?
Definitely.
Yeah,
I'd imagine. Who do you reckon would have signed him in that time? I'd have thought, you know, I think I would have thought that maybe Big Sam would have gone after his time at Inter, because his time at Inter, it falls away. It's similar, I think they could have had a similar treatment of his Wikipedia page as Pascal Chimbonda, as the listing clubs and appearances. Got AC Milan, you know, doesn't care. It went straight from Inter to AC. Monaco, Sampdoria, Atalanta, Fiorentina, Atalanta again. Big Sam, reckon in that time would have been sniffing around?
I don't know. I think, 2005 when he left Inter Milan? He probably still would have had a decent record as a striker. I think a bigger team. I mean, yeah, 2004, 2005, down the bottom, he still scored 13 league goals in 27 games. It wasn't dreadful for Inter Milan in his final season. Potentially like a Chelsea?
Well, there is one team mentioned in here. Oh. There's interest from Newcastle United.
Oh, he dodged a bullet.
In his late career, is Sampdoria. This is, you know, Vieri on the decline, somewhat injury prone. Obviously, he had previously been world record transfer. He signed a 1-year contract worth how much per month do you reckon he's going to be getting?
I don't know. Back then, maybe 60 grand a month. Was that 20 grand a week?
So he's actually signed £1,500 a month. It says, although he received a paltry salary, Vieri was set to earn another X amount for every goal he scored. Now, how much do you reckon he was going to get paid for every goal he scored?
So he's on $1,500 a month as a monthly wage.
Yes.
Goals, and that's got to be extortionate. That's got to be 70,000, 60,000 a goal. Something to make it up.
100,000 euros a goal.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Actually, Josh, reminds me of a time when we played Football Manager and you bought in. We were playing in Russia, in the Russian league. And you bought in
Jordan Rhodes
on one of the most ludicrous contracts I've ever seen.
Turns
what a
out
memory.
It's quite hard to convince people to move to Russia.
What a memory.
The chairman said, I hope if things go well, Vieri will cost me €2 million. He actually ended up costing him a further €200,000. He only scored 2 goals in 7 appearances.
Oh.
I mean, that's still a couple of hundred grand per year. So, I mean, that's nothing to sniff at, is it? So, when you think of Vieri, you remember what you think about his kind of style of play. What do you think?
Well, sort of a bruiser, sort of strike, like a good header of the ball, a good finisher. I do remember a good finisher in the
long range finish. I remember a powerful left footed strike.
Yeah, a bit of a lack of pace. Yeah. I feel like he was surrounded by technical flair and pace rather than him having it himself. He was, I don't want to say target man, but a bit more like a target man.
Yeah, well, he does actually have the record for all-time top scorer of headed goals in the league.
Nice. That's very impressive. Well done, Christian.
He is the Italian Peter Crouch.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, what bigger praise do you need?
Absolutely.
What about his international career then? What's that like?
International career is surprisingly good, actually.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, I don't feel like I remember him in many tournaments, big tournaments.
So it's more World Cups where he makes his name. 9 appearances in World Cups and 9 goals. He's their record joint record goal scorer in World Cups.
Wow.
And he's actually 9th on the highest goal scorers of all time for Italy. But it's actually not that formidable. I was looking the other day, this is football adjacent. Italy have not got very high goal scorers in their history. I think the top scorer is something like 35 goals. Vieri's on 23, so he's up there. But David Healy of Northern Ireland fame has actually got more international goals. He's got 36 international goals, so more than the highest any Italian forward has.
Is it the plethora of options that Italy have had? Have they got a lot of people on 20 to 30 goals, or is it still just a handful?
Potentially. I also think it goes hand in hand with what I think we know is Italian style. It's very much a...
True.
This tournament was just gone. I think it was more Italian breaking from the norm, wasn't it? They were scoring goals. It was quite fun to watch. Previously, it's been quite settled and, you know, 1-2s, so not like a really high-scoring country, but still surprising.
I'd be interested to see one of my other, like, a really good favourite player of mine, Francesco Totti, because obviously he had a very long career with Roma, seeing one-man club, and played quite a lot for Italy. I remember him playing quite a lot. I'd be interested to know his goal-scoring stats, but maybe that's one for another day.
Some interesting bits in the personal life section. He uses good looks to his and his charm, maybe, and maybe a little bit of his money. He's dated a lot of models, it seems. Don't know the names. I'm assuming all Italian models. He also likes to look good, seemingly. He has his own fashion label, Sweet Years, which he runs with friend and former Italy and AC Milan teammate Paolo Maldini.
That was an attractive two for a fashion label, wasn't it, back in the day?
He's got a second brand as well. He also started another clothing brand, close friend, and another former AC Milan footballer, I'm pretty sure, Christian Brocchi.
Yeah, okay. Christian Brocchi, nice.
All the brands. And he's also had a little bit of stint in media. I mean, my Italian's not great, but I think che vuol essere milionario is who wants to be a millionaire?
It must be. I don't know. I was learning Italian at one point, but... I didn't get that far.
So in 2003, participated in the Italian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Gennaro Gattuso. Oh. I think I'd like to give that a little watch.
He's a man with contacts, isn't he? He's definitely a man with networking.
I did all right. Answered 13 questions correctly. There's something here about a story with Vincenzo Montella, which they say is a hilarious, dramatic event. But when you read it, it does sound quite boring. So I'm not going to go into that.
Okay, we won't go into that one. So let's head back then to Pascal Chimbonda.
And okay, where's the bounce off? Where's our leapfrogging to? I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Who else has played for Guadeloupe?
Well, okay. Again, that's come out of left field and was nowhere in my radar to go towards. Okay.
I'm intrigued by PFA Team of the Years.
One. We've got that in a joint intriguing list. Yeah, PFA Team. Well, again, we can't hover.
No.
And do we go just on PFA Team of the Year, which could be a Wikipedia page just about the award of being in the team of the year, or do we go for the 2005-06 season, which is going to be the PFA team of the year in that year?
Like, or is it going to be just
the highlight
2005-06 in English football?
Yeah. What happened in a year report, yearly report of 2005-06? I'm not going to lie, clicking on Steve Finnan interests me a little bit.
Because, whoa, who said that before?
Because I think there's got to be something about him, Steve Finnan. Because he played for Liverpool, Fulham.
Correct.
He must have played in competition finals. He must have played in
Republic of Ireland, maybe in the World Cup as
exactly. So that's hang on me. There's also a click in there to Highbury, and I do
just
like
the actual stadium.
Yeah, well, it says on the final day, this is what I was talking about. On the final day of 2005-06 season, he handed in a transfer request after Wigan lost 4-2 to Arsenal in the final game to be played at Arsenal's old Highbury ground, only 6 months after renegotiating a contract for a further 4 years. This riled the Wigan management, who set a high price, higher than many prospective buyers were willing to pay, and informed Chimbonda that he could play in the reserves until his contract is over if he was not bought. Tottenham bought him.
I am also intrigued, purely for the name, and I liked him a little bit, Willy Sanyol.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm probably up for PFA Team
Willy.
Of the Year.
Willy.
Oh, up for Willy. Yeah, I don't mind. I do mind, because you picked loads of them recently. So we're going for PFA Team of the Year.
So we're clicking on, in the Wigan Athletic section, first paragraph, PFA Team of the Year.
Yeah, not the year, we're going for PFA Team of the Year.
Oh, Dave, it's just the award. It's just, I mean, the first line is literally about Professional Football Association of the Year, often called PFA Team of the Year, or simply Team of the Year. None of them clickable, obviously, because they're just different ways of saying the award.
Yeah, but did you? We're learning, Josh. We're learning. Because did you know that Peter Shilton currently holds the most appearances in the PFA Team of the Year in the top division with 10 appearances?
Good job. There's a great link between Peter Shilton and Christian Vieri.
Stephen Gerrard currently holds the most appearances in the PFA Team of the Year in the Premier League era with 8. So Stephen Gerrard, again, World Cup, potentially getting to back on track. Or we do have a classic list of winners of the PFA Team of the Year to take us to another page. But I will admit, I've had a bit of a mare. Also, by the way, I've also found an error in there in this page already. The picture is of Kenny Sampson. Appeared in PFA Team of the Year on 11 occasions, more than any other player. I've literally just read the bit that said Peter Shilton currently holds the most appearances in the PFA Team of the Year in the top division with 10.
Take the action.
Take the action. I clicked us here. I'm writing it down. I'll take the action.
There is also the list, which I quite like on pages, where they have the box down below with loads of clickable links. So this is a list of all the awards in English football. We have the 100 League Legends list, which I'm not quite sure it is. Hall of Fame. I don't really know of a Hall of Fame.
Pele. Oh, it's probably Pele's list. Yeah. It's probably Pele's list.
There's Young Player of the Season, Goal of the Season, Playmaker of the Season, Manager of the Month, all those. And there's all the league awards. You have the Player of the Month in all the different leagues. We've got a lot of places to go there.
I'm not saying we click on this, but there is a clickable link to awards established in 1974. Who is looking for that? Right at the bottom of the page, awards established in 1974.
That is going to be broad because that's going to be any award.
Any award. Any award, yeah. So I've had a bit of a nightmare, Josh, and this could be one of the smallest, I went very Dutch then. This could be one of the smallest.
Steve McLaren,
yeah. This could be one of the smallest Wikipedia pages we ever visit on this podcast. So I'm going to hand back the reins. Yeah.
No. You know how you're handing back the reins? You are getting us out of this, Dave.
My suggestion
would be Christian Vieri played mainly during the 90s, yes?
Yes.
Therefore, if we chose PFA Team of the Year 1990s, that would give us the most crossover. Yeah. Why the reluctance?
Stephen Gerrard's on there as the only clickable link that I think I'd like to do as an actual link that doesn't take us to a full thing, but it's a big player to wipe out in episode 3.
It is, and I can't think of what direct crossover would be. You'd have to go down the Stephen Gerrard England route, are you?
I'm tumbling, Josh. I am tumbling down a rabbit hole right now. I've taken us to the PFA Team of the Year, thinking it was going to be that year's PFA Team of the Year. I've had a shocker. I'm open to all ideas.
Stephen Gerrard is a bit too bland for me. I think the link you go for Stephen Gerrard, you go, there'll be AC Milan reference because of Istanbul. Yeah. I don't think you'd have
Vieri
mentioned AC Milan because it's such a short stint, so you'd then probably have to go further into the Italian footballing pyramid. I think PFA Team of the Year 1990s is a treasure trove.
I think I'm probably agreeing with you, but a sentence that's crossed my mind that I never thought I'd say that's going to be broadcast on the internet is, I never wanted Willie Moore. So I really wish I'd click Willie Sagnol. But here we go then. PFA Team of the Year 1990s, which is in the winners section of the PFA Team of the Year. Let's go. So then, here we go. PFA Team of the Year, 1990s. I've opened it. It didn't look like anything changed. Kenny Sampson's still staring at my soul. And the first paragraph is exactly the same. I was confused, but it has opened
up. You've got two actions then, because you need to correct this one as well. You have to go through all of them and correct it, because that is going to be ingrained in all of them, I'd have thought. It's a big page, I'm not going to lie.
It is. Lots
Scroll
of links.
Down. You mentioned you missed clicking on Willie. You can click on Dix though, because Julian Dix is staring at me. Hey. So it's got a list of every year and all four divisions awards, and so we've even got first division here. My goodness. So I'm going to start with Premier League, but I don't really like the early Premier League, so I'm going to go for a kind of 96-97. Let's have a look who we've got here.
Can I ask a question very, very quickly? Why are some of the teams clickable and some aren't? Are you only allowed one clickable link per page of that one thing?
Typically, you put a clickable link on the first time it's mentioned.
Ah, learn something new every day. There you go. Yeah. Learn something new every day. Yeah. Thank you, Josh.
I'm thinking we need foreign player in this instance. We need to find, because you go early Premier League years, there wasn't a big influx of foreign players. I mean, we're talking, if we look at 96-97, amazingly, the only player who isn't from Great Britain or Ireland is Stig Inge Bjørneby, which is surprising. Didn't expect to see his name here.
Yeah, that surprises me. Stig Inge Bjørneby making it.
I'm still getting surprised. So I'm still in 96-97. I'm on third division, winner in centre midfield. We have Roberto Martinez and Jan Molby on there.
Yeah, in the third division. Oh,
second
my
time
word.
Roberto Martinez has won it.
That's incredible. I'm intrigued, Josh. Sticking with 96-97, second division, midfielder, Stockport County, Chris Marsden, asterisk. What does that mean? Why is he the only player in all of this that has an actual asterisk next to his name?
Asterisk. Let's have a scroll down to the bottom.
There is no notification of an asterisk.
No, there is not.
Oh, it makes me want to click it.
Neil Lennon's got an asterisk as well in 95-96.
Chris Coleman has an asterisk. Second division.
We're going to get complaints, Dave. It's asterisk.
Asterix.
Nope, that is Asterix and Obelix, the French comic.
Yeah.
An asterisk.
Asterisk. An asterisk.
Every day's a school day.
Every day's. I'm learning all sorts of things today.
Yeah.
I will point out very quickly on this, 97-98, Pierre Van Hooydonk. He's on there. Previous episode one, Pierre Van Hooydonk. First division, Nottingham Forest. We said it, didn't we, when he got...
up front with Paul Mertz. Oh, what a side this is. Crikey. So we've got...
Kieran Dyer at right back.
Kieran Dyer at right back. Maurizio Tirico at left back. We've got Robbie Keane in midfield. Georgie Kinclads in midfield. Pierre Van Hooydonk. Paul Merson. What an entertaining side this is.
Someone's looked at that and gone, we need to fit these players into a PFA team of the year. How do we do it?
Well, has Garth Brooks done it?
Dyer played right back. Dyer definitely played right back. I've seen Robbie Keane in midfield. He's a ball winner.
This is definitely in the Garth Crooks of
Definitely. But Josh, what are you thinking? You said your reaction was not like 96-97, and then you found Stig Inge Bjørneby.
I'm having to go further.
Okay. We've got.
Has there ever been an Italian player?
That's an interesting shout. That
I'm regretting not going for the noughties, if I'm honest.
Oh, look who makes an appearance again, Steve Finnan. Told you it'd pop up. Don't think I can see an Italian. How about then, if you can't find an Italian, we go for something a little bit more obscure than Italian.
Okay.
I know he's a fully fledged international footballer. And also, I think something that you probably would have enjoyed watching, Josh, because he was a flair-ish sort of player.
I've got a feeling you're going to say Georgie Kinclazzi.
I am going to say Georgie Kinclazzi.
I'm perfectly all right with that.
Yeah?
I'm happy going with Georgie Kinclazzi.
Let's go.
Georgie Kinclazzi. Similar to the team of the year, first line is... Different way to say his name. Georgie, Gio. So he's the Georgian former footballer. I know him as a left-footed, tricky, nippy little winger. Like to cut inside, dribble.
Yeah, small dribbler. That's like a baby. Small dribbler. That's how I remember him, yeah. Again, baggy shirts, always hung off him, couldn't get the right size shirt, dribbling in and out of people, nippy. A good player, actually, I remember him for Man City. Yeah
Man City before the money came in, and also had another stint with Derby. Two of his most productive spells were Man City and Derby. He's got some clubs, though, hasn't he?
He has.
So in Georgia, a couple of Tbilisi sides, but we have a random loan to Boca Juniors. Not many people go on loan from a Georgian side to Boca Juniors to appear three times.
And I'm also going to say FC Saarbrücken. So he's actually gone from Georgia to Scandinavia to Argentina.
We have an eye accident there. Again, not many appearances. Little bit on North Assist. That's going to be Greece, Cyprus, I think.
Yeah,
Cyprus. And then Rubin Kazan is where it ends, with a little bit of money down the end there, I think.
I'll be interested to see and hear a bit more about Kinclazzi. So have a scout through the page, Josh. Let me know what you see.
I'm immediately drawn. Gone down to Derby County and there's some names that jump out at me. Malcolm Christie. Remember him? A very average centre-forward.
Always scored against Man United.
Did he?
Yeah.
Sorry to bring that up, Dave. Also, now this may be of use. Kinclazzi was sometimes a starter, sometimes substitute, rotating with Stefano Aranio. Italian name if I've ever heard one. Pretty sure he's Italian. Not 100% though. there's some big, big old names here. There's Jim Smith, Derby. There's Colin Todd.
John Gregory.
Oh, John Gregory. Real footballing men. Real footballing
men. Yeah. It's the sort of people you'd hear on TalkSport being asked that. Why have they not got a job?
When he joined the Cypriot side, he teamed up with a former international teammate who was player manager, Tamuri Ketsbaya.
Nutter. He's probably not a nutter, but everyone remembers him for that nutter celebration for Newcastle.
Yeah, not many people have destroyed an advertising hoarding, have they?
No.
It's a very wordy page, I would say. Lots of words going on.
It's the complete opposite to Pascal Chimbonda's.
Yeah, someone's put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah.
Surprising. Now, I'm not sure if this is an error or just his career, but no honours section.
Oh, you've got to feel like he would have won something. or be a runner-up somewhere in that time.
Yeah, we've got Ajax, who would have probably been in the Champions League. He was signed as a replacement for Jari Litmanen at Ajax. They had big shoes to fill. He was actually reunited with Shota Avaladze. Do you remember Shota Avaladze?
Rangers. I do remember that. I've just scrolled down to his club appearances, split out stuff. I think this is a man with many relegations on his CV, Josh, because I'm pretty sure the Preveli Liga is the top league and then the Umaghalesi is the lower one. So at Meritabu Tbilisi, relegated. At Man City, relegated. Derby County, relegated.
Okay, so maybe there's a reason there's not many honours here.
Yeah, potentially. Okay.
What are we looking at in terms of where to go from here? I've mentioned a potential Italian.
We have a potential Italian. Not sure it's enough to go on. I've actually seen the word Internazionale.
Well, have you?
So there is actually a link to Inter Milan. Man City, second paragraph. On the final day of the season, Man City were relegated to the first division, prompting transfer speculation linking King Clancy to a number of clubs, including Barcelona, Internazionale, Liverpool and Celtic. He opted to stay at Man City. Why?
That's the loyalty that Pascal Chimona didn't have.
True. Very true. Very true. So that's another one to throw into the mix for you, Josh. Inter are in there.
Is that too easy? We've gone very off-piste. It'd be quite nice to get back on terra firma.
Or, you know, John Gregory.
I feel that's just as risky as clicking on Paul Jewell. If I'm honest.
True. Very true.
You thrust it in front of my face and I cannot ignore it. I think Inter is where I'm going to go.
It's a big club.
It is a big club, but you scared me so much by going to PFA Flavier. We're now at George Eakin Clancy. Thankfully, he was linked with Inter. And it's referenced, so we're going there, Dave, because I'm pretty sure after his six-year stint, being top scorer, we're going to have a Christian Vieri mention.
I'm going to be disappointed if he's not on their page, to the point that I would make it an action on you that you've got to get him in their page.
That would be perfectly fine.
Yeah, right, let's go.
Another page where they like to spell out how many different ways you can say the name. Football Club Internazionale Milano, commonly referred to as Internazionale, or simply known as Inter. Oh, known as Inter Milan. Yeah, outside of Italy, it's known as Inter Milan because I think we would call it Inter Milan. But I've been corrected before, but no one in Italy knows it's Inter Milan.
Really? I've always just said...
You're an Inter man, are you?
Inter, yeah. I don't think I've ever had to say Inter Milan. I've never had to... Because who else is Inter? There's Internazionale in Brazil. That's the closest I can think of to becoming another club that you would just call Inter.
How about using one of their nicknames? Obviously, we know them as the Nerazzurri, the Black and Blues. But there's also... I'm just going to stick to the English here... The well-cherished one, and also the big grass snake.
The big grass snake.
No one has ever called him that.
How did that even come about? Unbelievable.
Phallic references in this episode.
There is.
Willie Diggs and big grass snake.
There is. When you think of Inter Milan, we'll get back to their page in a minute, but I just wanted your thoughts on it. What do you think of Inter Milan? When you first think of it, what pops into your head? Is it a kit? Is it a player? Is it
the kit with Pirelli on it.
Yeah, okay.
And it's probably also, with the time Christian Vieri was there, the Ronaldo, the Crespo, the Adriano, Javier Zanetti is probably one of the most iconic.
I'm going to throw a name out at you. Alvaro Recoba? Was he there with Vieri?
Yeah, Alvaro Recoba would have been there. Yeah. Lovely player.
Great player. Yeah, great player.
They've always had a lot of South American players, haven't they, really?
They have.
You look at AC Milan, probably had that Dutch period, didn't they?
Yeah.
Where they had a lot of Dutch players, Rijkaard, Hullit, Van Basten.
Seydorf
also plays for Inter Milan, I think.
Oh, potentially, yeah.
We've spoken earlier. They like to flip-flop. But the South Americans, you know, Javier Zanetti, we had Walter Samuel, Adriano and Hernan Crespo.
I'm always drawn to the stadium of Inter Milan, like the Giuseppe Mazzaia, because it's a stadium I've always wanted to visit. I've always wanted to visit it, and obviously it's shared with AC Milan, and it has two different names, the Giuseppe Mazzaia, and I can't remember what, it's San Siro, isn't it, for AC Milan, yeah. And I'd always like to visit it, and I've always thought about that to be there. And I didn't realise it's so big, 75,923, that's a big stadium.
My memories or visions when I think of an Italian stadium are being half full, though.
Yeah,
maybe I never think of a full stadium. I never think, oh, it's bouncing. Like, if I think of a German stadium, I think, oh, they're just heaving, flags everywhere, really good atmosphere. With an Italian stadium, I don't think of it as that. I think of them as being quite dated.
Yeah.
and, you know, sparsely populated.
Yeah.
Just quickly, just let's touch on first team squad. We're probably all aware. This is where I like to go with a side. We'll touch on it quickly because, as I said, we know it. You know, Edin Dzeko signed this summer.
Yeah.
With Romelu Lukaku going out. Christian Eriksen still there. Former Spurs player, obviously.
Matteo Darmian is there.
Isn't he? Yeah.
We sold him. United sold him. Obviously, they've got, you know, they've got a spattering of some very good players in there, haven't they? Skriniar at the back. You said Eriksen, obviously a very good central midfielder. De Vrij is there as well. Handanovic is a great goalkeeper. Perisic was probably a little bit past his peak, but a very good player. It's just everyone else around it is... Lautaro Martinez, I should mention as well. Very good striker. But everyone else around it, like Alexandra Kolarov, is still there. And I'm like, that surprises me.
Yeah, well, under the Conte era, he did seem to just buy in players. I mean, Alexis Sanchez, for example, he was buying in players, experienced players. I mean, they won them the Serie A title. Conte's now left, and it's Simeone and Inzaghi is now the manager.
Yeah,
they've got a good history as well. I mean, we look back at, you know, you look through the history. There's a fantastic photo of Sandro Mazzola looking. I mean, it's a lovely kit, isn't it? But the sideburns, the tan, fantastic.
Yeah. What a photo that is. If you're on the page and you want to look, it's under near subsequent achievements. He looks like I want to be him in that era. That's the man I want to be. Like, what a man. But yeah, good photo.
We have missed a trick here, Dave. So we mentioned in PFA Team of the Year, didn't we? We mentioned First Division when it was Van Hooijdonk. We mentioned Paul Merson. We mentioned Robbie Keane.
Oh, Robbie Keane,
who mentioned in the Mixed Fortunes era, where we will obviously see a reference to Christian Vieri, Inter's misfortunes continued the following season, losing the 2000 Super Coppa Italiana match against Lazio 4-3 after initially taking the lead through new signing Robbie Keane.
That's incredible. It's a shame we're not linking to Robbie Keane. But Josh, that doesn't help. Well, Rob, I was going to say, would this be linked in Robbie Keane's page? Obviously it would, because it's Inter Milan and he played for them. But now, though, Alvaro Acobra is mentioned there as well. But if we do get Robbie Keane, if someone picks Robbie Keane, we can't get to him from Inter Milan. We've wiped that out. Well, you've wiped that out, I'm going to say.
I recovered the situation, you're correct. I did recover
you
the
did.
Situation.
You did, I'll let you off. Yeah, you did. You did.
But as we mentioned on Vieri's page, it's referenced here with Massimo Moratti's takeover. Inter broke the world record to transfer twice. So Ronaldo was the breaking of the transfer record in 97, and then Vieri a couple of years later. So we have a direct link to Vieri. Thank goodness.
Imagine if he wasn't mentioned. Yeah. Do you find that the wrong way round for the prices for Ronaldo and Vieri?
You just got to think that the inflation must have been increasing at an alarming rate.
It must have been.
Like we've seen in recent times when a Neymar transfer went through, it just blew things all out of proportion and the transfer record was beaten by like million, 10, 20, 30, 40 million. I can't remember what it was, but I can only imagine that's happened there. Like money was getting pumped in and all of a sudden, it looks cheap, doesn't it? 19.5 million for Ronaldo.
It looks ridiculously cheap, yeah. Absolutely ridiculously cheap, but fair enough. Oh, Josh, before we just move on to complete the journey, that image, we've had a great image above the name Christian Vieri for Sandro Mazzola. The image below it, Zamorano, 1+8. Can you remember that journey, that jersey, where he had...
Oh, my goodness,
he wanted the number 9,
yeah.
Ronaldo had it, so he couldn't wear it. So they gave him 18, and he put a little plus in between. Oh, yeah, I was like, I want to do that if someone's got my number.
And even Zamorano, we've mentioned his other strike partner when Vieri was at Lazio, the other Chilean forward, Marcelo Salas and Ivan Zamorano.
Yeah. Nice. Very, very nice. Who is your favourite ever player for Inter Milan?
Ooh. As in, who when they played for Inter Milan, or...
When they played for Inter Milan, who is your favourite ever player and why?
Okay, this is going to be weird. And it could well have been Alvaro Acobra. But for some reason, I have a lot of love for Lucio, the Brazilian centre-back.
Nice, yeah.
He was just such a formidable player. I love the way he marauded out of defence. He was just... fantastic. It was quite sad to see, it was very happy for me to see Gareth Bale's hat-trick against Inter Milan, because he absolutely rinsed Lucio at one point. It was a reasonably high line. Bale just knocked it round him and ran. But Lucio had it all. He was so formidable in the air. He was so quick, so good in the ball. Really outstanding centre-back. I just really enjoyed him at the time.
Nice.
You see yourself?
Adriano. It's how I picture Adriano. He was the cover of Pez 2006, I want to say. It might have even been PES 6 back then. Something like that. It couldn't, or maybe not 2006. Maybe that's a bit too late. But he was the only player ever in the game, still to this day, that's ever had shot power 99 at the beginning of the game. And he was just incredible. And it, and he was, I think Inter was actually the start of the sort of downfall of Adrian, wasn't it? When he had a few issues, and I think his dad died and he didn't deal with it very well. For some reason, I think of Inter Milan, I think Adriano. When I have to think of a player who played for Inter Milan, Adriano would be the first name that comes to mind every time.
All right, let's make the final click. Let's move on to the final bookend, Christian Vieri. There we go. Him staring at our face on the substitute bench, not smiling.
No, he looks really angry.
He does. He looks brutish, doesn't he? He's that kind of formidable. I mean, I remember more with hair, with that kind of, with a spiky little number.
I remember him wavy at one point, and then he went spiky, sort of weirdly, in between us two right now, I'd probably say.
Yeah. He's so. Also, I think he's also donned an Alice band at one point.
Oh, I love an Alice band. Big fan of an Alice band.
You've donned an Alice band before, haven't you?
I have donned an Alice band, and Kate absolutely hated it. So, yeah, the Italy record, you mentioned it before, 49 appearances, 23 goals, under 21s, 22 appearances, 11 goals, and just a, such a nomadic career. Is there a reason? We didn't touch on it before, and I probably should have asked. Was there a reason for his continual moving around, even in Italy?
No, it doesn't seem to allude to it. I think maybe there's just a want for money. I think they would, you'd probably been paying more each time a move, and he was very much a progression of his career. He stabilised at some point and then had a good peak. I think injuries probably curtailed it. Maybe there would have been... I think the Atletico Madrid move was the wrong choice, was purely money. Maybe he'd have stayed. If he hadn't done that, he'd have stayed at Juventus a little longer. And, you know, Lazio was a route back in. So I think they were just byproducts of each other. It's a combination of different things.
But when you look at the stats, though, that's funny when you say that's probably the wrong move. What a move it was. 24 goals in 24 league games. It's
incredible. Yeah, his highest goal-scoring tally. So if you look from 93-94 season all the way through to 2004-05 season, in all competitions, he had double figures in all but one season. And in that Atletico Madrid season, 29 goals in 32 appearances overall.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It is formidable, isn't it? Really is a really good return. And it's kind of a return which... You think more of, you know, Ronaldo's and Messi's getting. It's better than the. Often it was always one and two, wasn't it? You think, oh yeah, getting one and two. But players who've done it, I suppose it's Ronaldo and Messi have done it consistently, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, that's the issue, I think. And we've mentioned before, chatting, just us, not on the podcast, but just chatting about how that skews a lot of stats now. People think you're not a good striker unless you're scoring Ronaldo or Messi sort of numbers. Well, you can be. I still think one and two is a very good record.
Oh, absolutely.
For a striker, it's pretty good. But yeah, I guess that brings an end to the podcast, Josh. We've done the journey. We've, albeit a bit strangely, gone from Pascal Chimbonda to Christian Vieri via the PFA Team of the Year, then the PFA Team of the Year in the 90s, Georgi Kingsley, Inter Milan, Christian Vieri. Done. I will admit, you definitely got us back on track.
Yeah, with a safe bet, though. We could have gone different places. I do feel like we missed a trick with Robbie Keane. I'm ruining that a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'd have still it would have still probably have been an Inter Milan click. I'm not sure there's a Robbie Keane Christian Vieri link. It would still have to have taken out Inter Milan.
Yeah, I do think so. Although there might have been, because they played at the, judging by that paragraph we read, they played at the club at a similar time. So
we'll never know.
We'll never
until
know.
Until we tackle Robbie Keane.
Exactly. Well, okay then, that brings an end to this week's podcast. So thank you so much for listening. Feel free to send in suggestions for Wikipedia's where you think we should start or finish, or send us a suggestion of the total thing you'd like us to start and finish at, and we'll see if we can do it. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers, so put your suggestions over there for us. That would be great. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then. Goodbye.